you can't get rid of us yet. We are back in action. We ain't going nowhere. So excited. Welcome back to Ungroundable.
Thank you.
With me, Lisa Schwartz, and...
Thank you, Mom.
And thank you, Mom. Very excited. Today, we have Carl T. Wright joining us. Now, Jeff and I, my husband and I, are huge fans of Carl T. We talk about him often in our house. He's just a phenomenal person. But for those of you who might not recognize his name, the minute you see his face and hear his voice, you will know he is a phenomenal actor and voiceover artist who is in literally every show. He is that guy in that show. And if he hasn't been in your favorite show, he will soon be in your favorite show because he seriously pops up everywhere.
So excited.
So exciting, so fun, and he's got some great stories to tell us today. We are talking about deodorant, a deodorant discovery, and...
P.U.
P.U. And some sneaky hysteria.
Yes.
And I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this one. So let's bring on Carl.
If your parents only knew of the shit you used to do, you'd be grounded for...
Lisa, the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and to get a chance to play with you again.
Yes.
Sincerely, one of my favorite people to work with, to follow, but most importantly, an icon when it comes to Halloween costumes.
Yes.
Dude, every year, my husband and I are like, Carl T., every year, nails it. Tell my mom some of your like classic costumes.
Do tell.
Well, you know, I didn't like to dress up for Halloween for many years. Then I had a kid, and the kid would always go out, and I thought, I don't really want to do this. So I stayed home. So when I stayed home, the kids would come for candy, and I couldn't just be myself. So I started dressing up. I started as the Ghostbusters and, you know, lame stuff like that. But then I got a little more creative. And one year I dressed up as Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah, fun.
But I was Brown Doc Brown. So there was no confusion. And I had the whole thing. I got to get back to 1985. They had great music back then. And I dressed up like Batman one year, but he was... Alfred was out of town, so I was the one giving out the candy, so I had the mask on and everything. And I was Urkel a couple of years ago, which people seem to
your
like.
Your Urkel was perfect. I think that's when my obsession with your Halloween journey began.
Yeah, which is scary because I just went in my closet and pulled out some clothes. I didn't work very hard at that. Yeah, didn't work very hard at that. And then this year, I didn't know what I was going to do until like 3 days before. And I said, I guess maybe I'll be Steve Harvey because I love Family Feud.
Yeah, it was so funny, dude. You guys, I mean, we'll ask you this again at the end, but your Instagram account is
Carl T. Wright.
Yeah. And so you guys got to check this out because were people going nuts when they came up to the door?
Yeah. So I always like to surprise the kids. I don't like to just give out the candy. I make them work for the candy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Of course.
Sure.
So this year it was great because I would open up the door and say, well, welcome to Halloween Feud, everybody. I'm your host, Steve Harvey.
We're
going to play some games in order to get some candy. You ready to answer some questions? And they were, and you would think they'd be scared, but they were like, yes. They're ready to go. They were great. I had a lot of fun.
You know, we had just recently so randomly stumbled across a Family Feud episode with the Jackass members. It was like a promotion for like Jackass, the latest Jackass.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that one.
I haven't.
Carl, it is worth every moment.
I can imagine.
One of the most awkward and like, they're like... Because Steve Harvey has like such a great comedic shtick going on.
He does.
But it's like he's in his own lane and that's like he does, it's his show.
Right.
But they have such the Jackass people have their own like comedy sentiments and like they also have they're working with each other.
Right.
It was a train wreck if I've ever seen one.
Because, you know, when something weird happens for him, he's like, he's got a whole bit that he does, but I can imagine.
Right, exactly.
I can imagine. with them.
His reaction to the taser, like, was just next level bonkers. So I advise everyone listening to go, yeah, exactly. Oh my God. If you guys aren't watching this, you can watch the full thing on Patreon. Carl's already coming out hot with all the impressions. This is fantastic. So happy to have you.
Me, so glad to be here.
Obviously, you know the theme of our show, but before we jump into these stories, I know you from all your work and from our current friendship, but I don't know much about your childhood, and it would be wonderful if you would just kind of share a little bit about your background, about your family, and so we kind of have the table set for these stories you're going to share today.
Don't hold back.
Well, don't hold back.
I will give you the abbreviated version. I am the child of teachers. And Mom, aren't you a teacher as well? Or were you a teacher? So you get this. And Lisa, I think you probably will get this. Being the child of teachers, you have to be on your P's and Q's. So I was a good kid, you know, like there were teachers. My grandmother was a teacher. My mother was a teacher. My dad was a teacher. Everybody was a teacher. So I was a pretty good kid. You know, I didn't cause that many problems. And as I got older and got into high school, my mom became more than just a teacher. She got into the union and, you know, she was well known in the city. And so I didn't know who knew my mother, but they knew me. Right? So I had to be good all the time. Because you just never know when someone.
You just never knew.
Because I'd be
where
walking.
Where were you born? Where did
Chicago.
You grow up?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We love Chicago.
Yeah. We just went there not that long ago and really
Such
enjoyed
a fun
ourselves.
Town.
It has changed so much since I was there. I've been gone now for over 20 years and it just looks so different. But
I'm sure.
But yeah, so my mom was the head of the teachers union there. And so. Yeah, so people knew who my mom was, but they didn't know me unless they were teachers. So I'd be walking down the street with my girlfriend in high school, and they say, "Hi, Carl," and I go, "Who is that?"
Oh no,
friend of your mother's, friend of your mother's. And I would go, okay. So I couldn't do anything.
Eyes everywhere,
right? So you know, people were like trying pot and smoking and stuff like that, and I couldn't do that because I didn't know who's going to walk by and see me.
Oh no!
And then report back, you know, because she would hear from people. Oh, Jeanette saw you the other day. I said, "Who's Jeanette?" Oh, she saw you down at whatever, and I go, "Ugh."
Oh, okay. God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like worse than having like the police chief as your dad or something.
Kind of like
your
the
mom.
Same thing.
Yeah. But the teachers know.
But I mean, Lisa, didn't you have the same problem? I mean, your mom was a teacher and weren't you in the same like area, same school or at some point?
Just when you were very little.
Yeah. Preschool. Like she was the teacher at preschool.
Okay.
So
I
didn't get that much trouble in preschool. I did bite a kid and everyone knew.
She did. She used to bite. You bit a kid.
Yeah, I think that's a common thing kids
do,
right?
I don't know. You must have been
real. She was a feisty one. Actually, she was a hungry one. I like to eat.
After preschool, I don't know what the hell you do.
Yeah, no. As we're coming to learn, Mom has no idea the things I did.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't have to experience this. But you know what's interesting? I don't know if you've picked up on this. You know, we're just getting started with this podcast. We've had... I think maybe you're our ninth guest or something around those lines. Ooh. I would say over half of our guests had one, if not two parents who were teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I'm wondering, if teachers, something about artistry,
teachers?
Teachers make creative babies?
Yeah. I mean, I would
open
think so.
Open the space for...
You know, you have a smart person in your scope all the time and kind of pushing you to think differently or be different or whatever. I don't know.
Were you allowed to be creative in your own way as a child?
You know, I do remember like always loving comedy. Like I wanted to be a comedian when I was like 7 years old.
You knew.
Well, yeah. Well, it was mostly... How did that happen?
Yeah, how'd that happen? Yeah.
Because of Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him and I said, wow, he makes everybody laugh. And then we had the albums. Like back then, like a lot of people listening probably don't know, like there wasn't like, you know, comedy specials you could watch. You had an album and everybody listened to the album over and over and over again. So
yes, I had them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I listened to Bill Cosby's Wonderfulness like over and over and over. I could recite it in the playground. I said, I'm going to be a comedian just like Bill Cosby.
Oh, wow.
And then I saw him on some show and he was doing the bit. I was like, oh, he's doing the bit. And then the people weren't laughing. I said, well, why aren't they laughing? And my mom said, well, they don't always laugh. I said, really? Well, I don't want to be a comedian then. I'll be an actor instead. And so I wanted to be an actor. A funny actor.
I mean, you are a funny actor, though. Yeah. You are a funny actor.
Yeah.
I think you picked the right... you know what? It was best that you steer clear of Bill Cosby after that moment. You know what I mean?
Well, and
you
pick the,
you know, you pick the right path.
It breaks my heart. I mean, it really is so sad.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so sad and so layered and complicated. Yeah, and yet not.
And yet even that thing that we did together where you were the anger management person, I brought Bill Cosby into that, you know?
That's right. You certainly did. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it makes me mad and it makes me sad all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when did you get in trouble? Like after your mom wasn't a teacher?
Yeah. Like how did you sneak in the trouble?
Yeah.
Every once in a while I would get, one time I got caught outside. I mean, my parents, of course, worked. I was a latchkey kid. And one time I saw my friend outside. I was going to run out. We lived in an apartment building, big 22-story apartment building. We were on the sixth floor. And I went out on the balcony because I saw my friend and I was going to wave hi to her. So I ran out and I said hi. And so I went to go back in and the door was locked.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's a nightmare.
Right. So what am I doing out on the balcony? It was like fall. It wasn't like a time where you would be hanging out on the balcony. And I thought, how am I going to get back in the house? So, you know, I'm looking at this glass. It was a great big, the window was really tall. And I thought, I'm not going to break the glass. That's a mess. I didn't want to yell to anybody down on the street. Can you, like, it would just draw too much attention.
They're like, are you going to jump?
right.
Yeah, that's a whole different attention we don't need.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. So then I noticed that the window was open. So I kind of looked and instead of like seeing if there's a way to take it off, I just started grabbing at the screen and ripping. I ripped the screen off and I climbed through the window.
Whoa.
And so then I had to come up with a story of like what happened. So, I had this whole elaborate thing or my friend was outside and she had waved at me or something. So I went out there and it was windy and the door slammed shut and I didn't know what to do. And so I just, you know, ripped the screen. I said, well, you know, you could have just taken the whole frame off. And I said, oh, no, I didn't know that. We had a broken screen for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
Flies were getting in the house all the time. Oh. Yeah, all my fault. Just because I wanted to be a good friend.
That was your first creative thought.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was worried you were going to be like, I started like trying to scale down.
I was starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah, I was like, he's here, he survived, but still.
Yeah.
Oh my God, were you an only child?
Yes, I was an only child. And my parents were only children, so.
No kidding.
Mine too, that's so funny.
Only child, only children.
Do you think that like only children are kind of forced to be more creative in some ways because a lot of times I'm imagining you guys have to entertain yourselves?
I would say yes. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had to entertain I would get games for Christmas and they would just sit on the shelf because you more players. So like, what am I going to do? My favorite game was Gnip-Gnop. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was like, there was like a big thing and there was three balls on one side and you hit this thing and it would shoot through the side. You try to get the three balls on the other side, but you couldn't do it by yourself. So I had this great game I couldn't play. Pong. Oh. You can't play Pong by yourself.
No, you cannot. It's like a torture. That's torture.
Yeah.
But did it force you to be like super outgoing and like make a lot of friends? I mean, you kind of are now.
No. No.
Oh, really? Mm. No.
No. But it did teach me about like things to do to make people, to entertain people. Like that's how I learned how to make people laugh. I remember very specifically, I was in kindergarten when I figured out how to make people laugh.
Whoa. What was that like?
We were playing in this great big sandbox. It was like in the classroom. And we were like supposed to be making like, you know, I went to like a University of Chicago lab school. So it was like, you know, interesting learning techniques.
Wow. Or whatever. Oh, that's nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so I did something in the sandbox and all the kids laughed. I went, well, that's fine. So I did it again and they laughed again. I was like, oh. So I did it one more time. They laughed again. I said, that's it. Okay. Yeah. So I did it again. And then they didn't laugh as much. I said, okay, that was after three. Okay. I tried it.
Time to make something
that's
else.
Right.
What were you making? Were you making little penises in there?
Yeah, no, I don't think I found mine yet at that point. I think it's still, I didn't know the magic of that.
That came later.
Yeah. So then I did it one more time. It didn't work. And I said, oh, okay. And then the teacher started getting upset. I said, okay. Comedy doesn't work when you keep doing it over and over and over and over again. Unless you really, 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 really do it again.
That's right.
Then you can make people laugh. So.
Oh, wow. That's so magical that you remember that moment.
I do remember it so specifically. Like, it clicked. I was like, this is how you get people to laugh. Oh, and they like.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You knew right away. You're in the right lane.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Were your parents strict? I mean, obviously your mom is a teacher, but were they hard on you, or did they kind of just let you do your thing?
You know, I mean, you know, you had to do what you're supposed to do. And you know, if anything went wrong, there's only one person in the house. So it had to have been me. I couldn't blame it on anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my parents were strict enough. I mean, my parents were divorced. So I grew up with my mother and would see my dad on the weekends. So, you know, there was a balancing act of who was stricter. And I spent more time with my mom. And then my parents got remarried, or both of them. You know, that's a different kind of like who's going to be the one you listen to, the step parent or the parent, that kind of thing. Yeah. So
that's an interesting dynamic.
Who'd you get away with? Like, were you able to get away with things with step parents,
or were they harder on you?
Yeah.
Well, my story involves my stepdad.
Okay. Well, perfect segue. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
All right. So, this is like a crazy story. Okay. I'm in high school, right?
And wait, I'm sorry. Before you begin. Yeah. So when we started this podcast and I started pushing on social media, Carl's like, I have a story for you. Like, it's like you needed to get it out in the open. And is this the one?
This is the one. This is the one.
It feels so much better when you get
it out. Yes, wait, I'm like, hold on, I'm buckling in here.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
We need
because
the popcorn.
It's actually so crazy that I didn't get caught. Because I did get caught, and I didn't get caught. So, okay. You know, it's summertime in Chicago, and I finally have a girlfriend. It's like my junior year of high school, going into my senior year. And I had gone off to France for the summer. I came back, and my girlfriend wanted to spend some time with me. But her parents were stricter than my parents. And in fact, they drove me to my prom. My parents had to drive me to my own prom because her dad, who taught me how to drive, wouldn't let me drive to my prom.
Oh my goodness.
So she wanted to come over and hang out one afternoon. I said, well, is your mom going to let you? She said, no, but I'm going to bring my sister. Well, that doesn't seem real cool. She said, well, we'll just leave. Well, she'll just hang out in the other room. I said, okay. So she brought her sister. This is a woman who knew how to get away with stuff. Like she was the one who would go to school and say, I'm not going to class today, and get away with it. Like the teachers never got on her about anything. She was tall, beautiful, and funny. And so she got away with stuff all the time. So she decided she was going to come over. She's going to bring her sister, and we were going to have our little, you know, fun in my room while my her sister hung out in the den. So
it's already so bizarre.
I know it is.
Yeah.
So
the accomplice,
the poor sister.
Yeah.
Right. So just let me. I have to set up the apartment. So you come in the front door. There's like a hall of a foyer, and you turn and you are go walk down a hallway, and there are three bedrooms. There's my bedroom. There's the den. My parents' bedroom at the end, and then there's a bathroom at the end of the hall, and one on the end, other side of the den. Right.
Okay.
So you can, I think you can kind of see that. So,
sure.
So anyway, we're there, you know, hanging out and doing not that much naughty, because they're there for like maybe 10 minutes when I hear keys jingling.
Oh, no.
Now it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Shoot.
My parents never come home. In the afternoon.
Oh my God.
And like I said, I had to tell her, my girlfriend, get in the closet. Just get in the closet. And then I had to run in the other room and say to her sister, get in that. And I looked in the closet. That closet was too full. There was too much crap in there. I said, okay, come out here and get in this closet. There's a hall closet right next to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
So I said, just get in this hall closet. The keys are jingling, and he's like, you know, and he's talking to someone in the hallway. So I get a little bit of a reprieve. I said, get in this closet. Don't shut this door. It's never shut, so don't shut it. But I'm so scared. I said, don't shut the door. It'll be cool. He's not going to come in here. Just get in the room. So keys jingling.
I'm like stressed. I'm stressed.
Oh, it was crazy. So my girlfriend is in my closet.
Sure.
Her sister is in the hall closet. And then my stepdad comes in. He's talking. I'm like, wow, what are you here for? I said, oh, I have a meeting. He had to pick up something, blah, blah, blah. We're talking. We're chatting for a second. And so he goes in his bedroom and goes to get something. And so I say, okay, just stay here. No, I want to go where my sister is. I said, no, you have to stay here. He's going to come back in a second. So she stays there. He comes back out. And we're standing in the hallway right next to the closet where she
oh my God.
This is a movie moment.
Oh, my God.
It was a movie moment because as we're talking, he asked me some question. And I said, well, I don't know. And I heard clunk.
It closed.
She pulled the door shut.
Oh, no.
And you heard the latch click.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, this is it. This is it. The jig's up. Because he's standing right here. The door's right here. How do I explain this? The wind turned the knob?
It
was a ghost. So he's talking to me. This door shuts. And his face didn't change at all.
He didn't hear it.
You saw it. It was this way open. And he went. So he goes, he says, oh, wait, I forgot something. He goes back in the other room. So I grabbed it. I said, I told you not to. I got scared. I said, get in the other room. So now she goes to get in the closet with my girlfriend. So they're both jammed in my closet. And so my stepdad comes out. He said, well, I got to go to this meeting. I said, okay. And then to clear things, I said, oh, you know, this thing that was in the closet. And I opened the closet to prove that there was nothing in the closet.
Oh, yes.
Smart.
Yes.
So I closed it back.
What did you say? Like, God. Oh, this, like, what could you have possibly?
The knob's
I don't
working.
Know. I said, I was looking for that thing. Wasn't it in this closet? And I opened the closet. He said, no, I think it's in the other closet or something. Oh, right.
God.
Okay. And so he left and never, ever, ever commented about that. And it was so blatant that I couldn't believe I got away with this huge debacle. And of course, they left after that.
I was going to say, I have so many questions.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, younger sister, not as smart as the girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're her older sister.
She picked the right girl.
No.
She picked the right girl.
She was not the one who got away with everything.
Clearly not.
Yes.
Do you think your stepdad knew from even before, like the minute he stepped in, what was going on? And he was just like, or did he not hear? Or was he in the middle of
maybe
some,
he didn't hear well.
Was he doing something bad? And he thought he was getting caught.
Oh, that's interesting.
I
really think that he was so focused maybe on what he had to get done or whatever, like, that even if it was something, he'd be like, I don't have time to deal with this. So
he would have acknowledged something.
Right. But I mean, you know, you always think your parents are you know, going to be mean or be tough on you or whatever. But he was, as I got older, I kind of understood what was going on. And he was just, he was always like my biggest champion. He always like supported me. So
that's cool.
Maybe he knew and he just decided, I'm going to let this go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for him to have his moment with whatever is happening in that closet. But
with the two sisters.
Yeah, with the two sisters.
Yeah, he would not have figured out that there were two people in the house.
I really like the reveal at the end where you're like, oh, and you open the closet just like
I thought that
such
that was
a great magic trick.
Thank you.
There's nothing here.
See? I thought that was like my smart bit. Like I could get away with it. Like I proved that there's nothing really happened. Yeah.
Oh my God. And you have a daughter, right? Two daughters?
No, I have one daughter.
Oh, okay. Have you ever caught her with a friend
in the closet?
No. We're always telling
her. That would be funny though.
we're always telling her, no friends over here. No, don't. But she did get caught doing something kind of bad. And it was like, third grade, fourth grade, something like that. And she got like a grade on one of her papers that she was a little ashamed of. And so she signed our names to the paper.
My mom has done that once when she was a kid. That's so funny.
Signed my mom's name.
Yeah, like what is that?
I got in double trouble.
Yeah, it's like huge trouble. And it wasn't even that big of a deal. Like she would have brought it home. We would have said, oh, okay, whatever. But then she wrote this, you know, she signed her name. The teacher called us to tell us. And then we asked her. She hadn't told us about it yet.
No, of course not.
And so then, like, she got double trouble because the teacher had to tell us and she had done it. And, of course, you know, she was so, so remorseful. And my kid is a great kid. Like, she loves rules. She likes knowing what she can and can't do. She follows rules really well. But for some reason, this kind of through her. She did not want to get caught being a not great student for some reason.
That's sad, sweet thing. Yeah, you guys would have definitely been like, all right, we'll work through this. But as a kid, when you're a kid, you feel until you learn those lessons, you gotta.
But weren't you worried like I'd be so mad at you about something?
Of course, which you wouldn't have probably been. Anyways, maybe it's just ingrained in our heads as kids. Like, you gotta push the limits.
I also think that's a teacher thing too. Because I know that there was one time I had like I got an F in a class once and
I
got plenty of those.
Well, it only happened once and it was because when I switched schools, I didn't know that I was supposed to take another year of trigonometry. I thought I had it already at the old school, and so I signed up for pre-calc. I wasn't ready for pre-calculus at all, but I didn't pay attention because everything else had been so easy. I said, I'll figure this out. I'll figure it out. And it wasn't until like 4 weeks into I started doing the homework. I said, I really don't know what this is. And I told the teacher and the teacher said, well, you've already taken a test, so you got to stay. So I had to go through the whole semester not knowing what the hell was going on.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. That is terrible.
Yeah.
That was a bad teacher, really.
Yeah, that's kind of traumatic.
Yeah.
Very traumatic.
Mr. Chilin.
How are you at math now?
I love how those names stick with you.
I know. Yeah, never forget Mr. Chilin.
Mrs. Swove really fucked me up.
Fourth grade. We hated her.
Are you good at math now?
No.
Oh, I don't know. She was just a witch.
Oh.
Like, I think she was an actual witch.
Yeah,
was she a witch?
She was a bitch witch.
She have a broom?
Nobody liked her.
Yeah,
I think so.
I really do. I really think so.
So what happened with your math skills after that? I mean, now, are you, Do you still have like, oh my God, I can't think of the math stuff?
If I don't think about it, I can add things kind of quickly. But if I think about it, then I'm like, I'm screwed. My kid, on the other hand, really? Is really good at numbers. So I just keep her around and ask her. Can you figure this out for me real quick? Yeah. She's smart.
Oh, yeah. We count on our fingers.
Right. Exactly. I do that, too. Well, first I do it in my head, and I go, wait, that's not right. And then I got to do it on my fingers. And then I don't have enough fingers. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, then you have to go to your toes.
Right.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Luckily, like, there's computers now, so we can...
Stuff on our phone. It's the best.
But you know what's so weird? And maybe you see this with her homework, but, like, they're teaching math differently now.
Oh, yeah.
Like... It's a whole different, like, process that looks like it makes more sense than the way, like, we learned
it.
But how do you even help facilitate with homework and stuff? I mean, I guess she's old enough to not
I did help, until the time when I would, it was, like, numbers. And then when it started getting into geometric theorems and, you know, all that stuff, I said, I can't help you anymore. This is it.
Hey, that's so earnest.
Like, I cannot.
But luckily, my niece is a math teacher, and so she is a great tutor. So, like, my kid has been, like, blessed with, like, great support systems all around her.
Yes.
So, and we also have her playing piano, and she's been playing since she was two and a half years old. So.
Oh my God.
You must be so proud. I'm so proud.
Well, it's like the one, like, we had lots of battles about it. I said, this is the one non-negotiable. You have to play this until you leave the house. So
cool.
Wow.
And it will benefit you in many ways. And finally, like, after 10 years or something, a couple of years said, you know what? I do kind of like this. And so she's playing for a little more enjoyment. And I said, you don't have to learn every piece. All you need to do, nobody cares if you can play a piano really well except one piece. You sit down and go,
whoa, that's really good.
Exactly. And then you just need a little bit of another song. And people go, wow, that's really great. That's all you need to do. Get up, walk away. That's the piano trick.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we should, like, ruin her. I was going to, like, ruin her dreams. I'm like, you must be so proud. Now let's make her not proud of you by telling another story.
Yes. Come on.
But by the way, does she know these stories? And did she hear that other?
I don't think she's heard that one.
And the sister? Sister and the girlfriend. That's a good one.
But she has heard this one because it relates to every middle schooler. Every middle schooler has this issue because you don't know that you stink.
Right? Ain't that the truth?
You all think that it's no big deal, but you smell. I'm telling you right now, y'all smell. And you need some help. So,
and when it comes on hard and fast.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, oh, yes. Yeah. Like we just found this new deodorant thing. I'm not going to give the name, but we found this new deodorant thing that works. But when it doesn't work, it, like, hits like a freight train. You go, oh my God, is that me? Okay. I got to go wash up.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I was in middle school and, you know, it was... I didn't realize that I was not smelling good, but my parents would always say, oh, you know, make sure you take a shower, make sure you use soap. And I go, okay. Like that on my hands so that my hands smell like soap. And I get out of the shower and then I, you know, good. So my mom got me some deodorant. I want you to use this deodorant. Okay. I did not like the smell of deodorant. It was horrible. So I had figured out that I would just make the sound. Did you use deodorant? Yep. And then they could open the door and they could smell the deodorant. And they know that I was good, right?
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I did this for a long time. For like a couple
of
years.
Come on. Wait, is it because you didn't like the smell or you're just being like... Because your parents said so, you didn't want to do it, or a little of both.
Maybe a little bit of both, but also, I mean, sometimes I would do it but for the most part, I just thought it was annoying. Like, I don't smell bad.
Totally,
I don't smell bad.
Such a teenager.
We don't smell ourselves.
Yeah. Oh.
No, you never smell yourself, and you do smell it. You think, well, that's fine.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Blame
oh,
it on
that's
the-
fine. Yeah. That's my aroma.
That's how I
or
smell.
Or blame it on the dog.
Right. Yeah.
It must be the dog.
Yeah, it might be the dog or the trash.
Yeah.
It's not me.
So anyway, one morning, we woke up really, like everybody was overslept and we woke up really late. And so I had to jump up and my mom was, you know, making breakfast and I jump in there to start doing my morning thing. And I start washing up and then as I grab the deodorant, I spray it in the air and my mom opens the door and I sprayed it right in her face. She's like, oh, no. What are you doing?
That's great.
And she says, is that what you've been doing?
Oh, busted.
Busted, busted, busted. Boy, you put that deodorant on. And so I had to start spraying it every day. And then I had to check before I left the house to make sure that it was on.
Oh, they made you do a check? An arm check?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, obviously, I'm telling you guys, if you smell, you better either cover it up well or figure out a way that nobody notices. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my story, and I have told my kid about that because
that's a good story. So then she'll make sure to put on her deodorant.
Exactly, because you also don't want somebody to tell you that you need like you smell. I mean, you don't want to be the smelly kid.
You don't want to be the smelly kid in school. You don't want to be pig pen.
No.
There's exactly. always one, and you don't want to be that one.
Mm-mm. Pig pen is cute in the cartoons, but not in real life.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, not so cute. Yeah. What'd you do?
I didn't want to take a shower.
You didn't want, is this a kid thing?
I don't know. So I would go in, close the door, and turn the shower on, and just stand there long enough to think that maybe I had taken a shower.
That's so weird. What is it about, like,
I don't
kids
know.
Just like,
how about you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember
but
ever taking a bath?
But now I love. No, I just don't remember like resisting it. But now it's like I love nothing more than getting in the shower at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Or at the beginning, whatever.
Yeah. My daughter loves taking showers. But
she does.
Oh.
Yeah.
I now do. It's the best.
Your story reminds me that there was a time that I was taking a shower. I thought it was weird. My stepdad like came in the bathroom and sat on the toilet while I was in the shower. I was like, kind of looking out there, like, okay, I'll act like he's not there. And I showered up and did whatever and then turn off the water and I go to pull the thing. I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? He said, did you use soap? I said, yeah, I use soap. I can see the soap right there. It's dry. I said, no, it's wet. Take the shower again. So I had to take a shower again.
Because
he was making sure you did
that you didn't stink.
So obviously this story is making me seem like I am the stinkiest person in the world. Just thought about
that. I'm so glad this is over Zoom and not in real life.
We don't want to be smelling it.
Before we take a break, I do want to like say, because you both are parents, I think it's so this idea of parents having to like check their child's hygiene is so funny to me. And we have friends who have a younger son who is potty trained, but like, you know, I think there's like a wiping, like you have to like keep up with the wiping for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they would make him bend over like yoga style. And they'd say, let me check your work. And then he would bend over. And I was like, so
what?
He instinctively now, like when someone says, let me check your work, he'll bend over. I'm like, well, what happens when he's at school? What happens when he's at school? And he like did a math project and like the teacher's like, let me check your work.
Oh,
is he going to like get up and bend
over?
Like
downward dog.
Yeah. Horrifying.
I love that. I love that.
Being a parent is so bizarre.
It's hard.
It is. We do a lot of tricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tricks of the trade.
But your parents had to do just the same for you, stinky motherfuckers. So it all comes back around. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're actually going to read some of our listeners' stories that they've been holding on for all these years. So, Carl, if you'll stick with us, I'd love to hear your take on them. We'll be right back. Woohoo! We just wanted to take a quick break, as always, to stop, drop, and roll, and thank you guys for your support. It has been so incredible to read your reviews, hear your feedback, and if you could just continue to rate and do the things that one does when it comes to podcasts.
Do the things you do.
Do the things you do. We really, really appreciate it. You can also submit your very own stories to ungroundablepodcast.com. You can also leave us a message there. There's so many options, so many ways to get a hold of us. Let us know how you're feeling deep down inside. Also, we're over on Patreon. You guys know it, but I'm going to say it again. Patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. There's tons of extra content over there. The full video experience is over there. There is another episode of Sidebar with Jeff and I over there, which is a fun extra show we do over there. And in 2 weeks, we are doing our first Patreon members only live Q&A. This is the first one, folks, so it's bound to be a delightful hot mess. Join us. That's 12-9, December 9th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Be there or be square, and we can't wait to party with you.
We'll be rolling.
We'll be rolling with down the homies. It's bound to be a good time. All right, we got to get back to our friend Carl. Hey, we are back.
We are back.
From that fantastic break. What a break it was. All right, so we're going to jump into these. If you guys want to submit your stories, you can head over to ungroundablepodcast.com. I have not read these. Always like to say that up front.
It's fine.
Just in case we get ourselves into some trouble here. Okay, submission number one. When I was 13, I took my dad's roommate's car and got lost. Okay, wait, let's break that down for
dad's
a second.
Dad's roommate's car, okay.
My dad's roommate's car.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
So
13?
What? This sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like dad and mom lived separately, and dad had a roommate, right?
Dad had a roommate.
Okay.
And then he took the car.
And got lost.
Yeah.
No Google Maps there.
Yeah, no Google Maps then.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, impressive that he knew how to drive at 13.
Yeah.
Some people learn very early.
Really? Yeah. Excuse me, everybody, but this lady, she drives with both feet.
I do.
What?
Are you
a stopper and a starter all at the same time?
No, I'm no. No, you would never know. But I had a really crappy first car. Oh. And if I didn't work both feet, it would
die.
The car would die.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's why?
Yeah. Chevy Nova 62.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a cool looking car, but it was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So in order for the car to work properly, you had to pump it?
Mm-hmm.
And was it a stick shift? Was it a stick?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Even the
Which
automatic.
Is why I just recently learned why you only move one foot, because if you needed to or learned a stick shift, that's when you use your other foot, right?
Right.
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 Mom, what an anomaly this lady is.
That's
what can't she do with 2 feet?
I'm not going to go there.
Have you ever ridden with someone who is not a good driver?
Oh.
On purpose? I mean, they don't know that they're not a good driver? Oh, wow. Really? Seriously?
We're pointing to each other. I'm a good driver.
You start and stop.
Okay, I do. I do. I start. I'm like paranoid.
What do you mean I'm not a good driver?
You just open up a can of worms, Carl.
That's why I'm here. They told me it's on the card. I wrote. They got it right here. Ask about driving.
I tend to hit the brakes a lot because I think everyone is a bad driver.
Because she sees a car that's 30 feet ahead. They might be putting the brakes on.
I have a little car anxiety,
right.
So I think everyone's a bad driver, so I'm the wrong person
to ask. Is that why you're pointing at me? I'm not a bad driver.
You drive very fast.
I do.
Oh. So wait,
but
Mom, you didn't
control.
Teach her how to drive? You didn't teach her this bad habit?
How did you learn how to drive?
I think my dad and Mom taught me, but Mom would just do one of these and grab on to the side.
I would go like this.
Yeah, you did a lot of grabbing, which is so dangerous, It's just so jarring.
That's right.
That's why I'm a good driver and you're not.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Have you ever stolen a car, Carl?
No.
This is my moment to ask.
My moment, have I ever stolen a car? No. I thought about it, But no, I have not.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's an interesting story, and I'm glad they shared it. I hope that you're okay. I suppose if you're writing this,
you're probably still alive.
You've made it. You made it out.
I kind of want to know the end of the story. So you got lost, then how did you get home?
Yeah, we'll never know unless they submit again.
There you go.
But it is
second part of the story.
They're still lost.
Yeah, they're still lost.
They're still lost, hoping we'll find them.
It is a good prompt for like a movie or something, yeah, though. Yeah. Some of these have really prompted some magical thinking. This one, at 13, my friend and I met guys who were 18 plus, and we met them for a double date. Ended badly. The cops came. I got a minor in possession charge. Oh, my God. My friends and I had to go to court. It was in the newspaper. Parents never found out. I'm 36 now. Taking it to my grave.
Hang on a
second. Taking it to my grave. All right, you want to...
Wait a minute. That person's 13 and this person was 13
too?
Oh,
it all happened at 13. Yeah. Let's break that down. At 15, they met up with guys who were 18. For a double date. It ended badly. The cops came and this person got a minor in possession charge. Like,
what does that mean?
Under 18 carrying drugs.
They were a minor in possession of something.
And in possession of something. And they had to go to court and it was in the newspaper, but their parents never found out.
How is that possible?
Because the parents don't read papers.
Parents don't read papers.
Or they watch TV.
Oh, wait a minute.
But if you go to jail to court as an underage, don't you have to have a parent?
Oh, yeah. You would think.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Oh, I don't know how they got away with that.
We're just like dissecting. Yeah. But good for them for getting away with it.
I guess so.
It's just so funny. And I guess that's why we swirl around on this podcast and why this idea just tickles me, that there's some things, even though you're an adult, you're still hesitant to tell your parents secrets that you've like
30
taken.
Some years old.
Yeah, it's true.
I think for
their parents' birthday, maybe they should just like get a copy of the newspaper article, show it to them.
Oh, and go,
my God.
Who
that
is this?
That is
brilliant.
Wonderful.
Merry Christmas.
I love that idea. That's such an epic way. Oh my God, the squirrel has arrived. Oh. We have a squirrel named Chuck. He comes for 3 meals a day. He shows up at the window.
It's pretty funny.
We have a table for him outside.
You feed the squirrel?
I feed the squirrel, which I know is controversial. Half of our building is very angry that I do it, and half of the building is very happy that we do it. So it causes a lot of feelings. Okay, I'm going to hold on 1 second.
And here's the rodent.
Oh, hello.
Say hi to Kara. Ah,
who is that? What's his name?
Time on the podcast.
Corny.
All right, we're back. We have fed Chuck the squirrel. We have brought Corny in for a special appearance.
He's cute.
Where were we? What were we talking? How hysterical would it be to show the article to your parent? Like, that's so epic to hold on to a secret like that and then present it. Because at this point, who cares? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's
they
fine.
Would laugh,
they're safe.
Unless it was on their record and they never got it expunged or something and it's now kept them from getting a job or they can't sign for the house that they wanted. They need their parents to sign for it. So they show them the newspaper. Hi, could you sign for us, co-signers?
Oh, by the way.
This is why it's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Do you remember I had to go to court once? I had to go in person, but dad went with me. My dad's a lawyer, thank God, because I jaywalked. Well, I got a jaywalking ticket at an NSYNC concert, which is so mean. We were on our way into the NSYNC concert. There was a big crowd down at the formerly Staples Center. And like, I guess the light was turning, the hand thing was like turning yellow, but all of us continued to walk. And I got a jaywalking ticket.
Only you?
Maybe like me and whoever. I think I was with Zoe or something. We got jaywalking tickets, which is so mean. Right before we went in to NSYNC, still had a great time. But that was
were you dying because you'd have to tell dad? And
yeah, I think I was pretty
nervous.
Yeah, and then I learned that you can't say yeah. You have to say yes, judge, or yes, sir. That's what I learned, like how to be proper. Because I said yeah, and he goes, it's yes, sir.
Ooh. Like the judge said that?
Yeah.
So you actually went to the judge. You had to go that far.
I think I can't remember why we like.
Oh, because you wanted it. You didn't want it on your record or you had to pay for it?
I don't remember like the details, but knowing my dad, he like, you know, knew what to do to get the least.
I almost got a jaywalking ticket too when I came to visit LA many years ago. We were
in
Century
at the NSYNC concert.
This is it would have been Boys to Men, I think, concert. But no, it was in over there by UCLA in the Westwood area. And
everyone jaywalks there.
Yeah, I know. That used to be like the hot area. People would go there and they would drive around on Friday nights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the best place. Yeah.
And this was like a Wednesday afternoon. I was here visiting and I met a friend and I said, oh, let's check that place out. And we stepped off the thing and woo. And the guy pulled up and I said, what's the matter?
Wow.
He says, you know, you can't jaywalk here. I said, no, I didn't. Let me see your license. I'm like, I'm from Chicago. Like, we can jaywalk everywhere. We traffic, you know, we run in between the cars in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he said, and I'm with my friend. I thought, am I going to get a ticket? I came all the way to California and I'm going
to
get a ticket.
Jaywalking ticket.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so he looked at my stuff. He saw I was from Chicago. He said, all right, there's no jaywalking here. You got to walk at the crosswalk or at the light. I said, okay, thank you, sir. I did say, sir.
You gotta say, sir.
You gotta say, sir. Lesson
and I
learned.
I think that's why I got off on it. So.
And that's why nobody walks in LA.
Hey!
Carl, yeah. You're such a gem. Can you tell people who are clearly now obsessed with you, if they weren't already, what you have going on, what's upcoming for you, and where to find you if they want to dive deep?
Well, you know, you can find me on the socials at Carl T. Wright. On Instagram and Facebook. I'm not doing the other one because that other guy owns it. Mm-hmm. So, and then, but I was just on an episode of Chicago Med, which
episode 7. You're everywhere.
You're on everything. You're one of those guys that's like, hey, it's that guy from that thing. Do you get recognized for like everything?
I get people look at me and they don't know why they know me. And then I'll say, I was on this thing. And then they go, no, that's not it. And I said, well, I don't know. I can't go through the whole list.
I can't rattle it all off.
But I do
but
play
you are
this
on
thing.
Everything.
Yeah, I do play this thing where I if people see a picture of me, send me the picture and I post it and I call it post a Carl T picture or post a Carl T rerun or post a Carl T pic. And then I post them up. I actually just did that today because someone sent me something from my appearance on one of my two appearances on Monk. So,
fun.
Yeah.
We did that for you recently, but I can't remember what it was that we were so excited to see you.
Oh, yes,
on.
You did. It was for The Mentalist. Was it The Mentalist?
Oh.
No?
No, I don't think so. Something. Sincerely, you're on everything and you always pop up and it's like the greatest joy of all time.
Is there a picture of you somewhere in the sandbox that we could find?
His first comedy gig?
Yeah. I maybe need to recreate that for you just so you can get an idea of what that was like.
Only three times.
The birth of comedy. In the same.
There you go.
That would actually be a great autobiography for you. And the photo on the front will be you in a sandbox.
Right.
See? Boom, boom.
There you go.
Figured it out.
Wrap it up. Thank you so much. You are a pure joy, pure delight. And it was wonderful to have you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. I love working with you. Let's do it some more.
Always. Let's do it some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Done. Now I'm like questioning whether or not I put on deodorant. Do I smell?
There was a stink in the air.
I mean, that was a general sense of our house today. It's just been a stinky day.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Jen, you contributed to the stink after lunch. Let me just tell you, I heard.
It was the dog.
Oh my God, guys. Thank you so much. Today's episode was so much fun. Please make sure to give us a rating, a like, all the things, like we said, that you do. Taking the time to leave a review is amazing. And also, if you do leave us a review, we might actually read one, like we're going to do right now. Shout out to all of our listeners who left the reviews, and a special shout out to Keeb on Apple, who said, incredibly relatable. This is an amazing podcast premise. How weirdly satisfying to be able to tell your parents all of about what you did under their watch, and they can't do anything about it. Great, great, great. Excited to hear more. That's exactly the point, and exactly true. A pure satisfaction. So thank you for taking the time to leave that review. It means a lot, and it helps a lot. Also, as you guys know, clips appear every Monday on YouTube, so head over to my YouTube channel. You know it, you love it, and you should subscribe to it if you haven't already. We're also on Patreon. Come on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/ungroundablepodcast. Lots of fun stuff going on there. A whole nother show called Sidebar with me and Jeff. I like to go on there and post random pictures and comment on your comments. And we have that live Q&A coming up soon. So head on over there. There's many options for price points and many fun features. You know how Patreon works. Go, go, go. Ooh, and today we're playing a little Patreon roulette for our highest bidders on Patreon. And today is another special shout out to our friend Sparkle Riffic. She has been so awesome and supportive, and she's also very active on our Patreon, so it's fun to interact with her. So if you want to join the party and also interact with her and me and Mom, head on over to our Patreon. All right, babe. Well, this was fun.
So much fun.
Yeah, on to the next.
On to the next. Let's do it.
We're your hosts, Lisa Schwartz and...
The Mom.
And the Mom Schwartz. Thank you to our guest, Carl T. Wright. As always, our executive producers are me, Lisa Schwartz, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Our editor and engineer is Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omer Ben-Zvi. Our theme song is performed by Leah Donovan-Jones. And this, my friends, is Ungroundable with Lisa Schwartz and her mom. And it is a human content production. We're really good at sound effects.
I know, I like that.
Yeah, see you next time.